Hello everyone, welcome back to the Japan Archives, episode 90 now, and Merry Christmas. This will be coming out Christmas Day. So I do wonder how many people will tune in on Christmas Day, but we shall see. How are you doing, Heather?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good, actually, after we figured out my issues with my monitor when we tried to record. I do hope this episode, though, I apologize for last episode, if my audio seemed a bit echoey. I don't know why that happened. I'm hoping it will be fixed this time. Heather's audio, chef's kiss, perfect. Not an issue. Mine, oh dear, why is this happening? Anyway, it is Christmas Day, so let's talk about Jesus, shall we? Now, Heather, did you know that Jesus visited Japan in his short life?
You know, I had encountered that once upon a time. I think possibly you told me about it a few years ago, and we put it on the list. And that is where I think I heard it.
Finally found time to do it. We're going to talk a little bit about Jesus today. This will be a short episode. Again, there's not much about it, because, of course, the Bible does not talk about Jesus ever going to Japan. But apparently, according to some records here, he did in fact come along. So in Japan, in essence, there are some that believe Jesus didn't die on the cross, but he in fact made his way to Japan to live out the rest of his life, and he died in Japan. The supposed grave, if you wish to go visit Jesus, can be found in the village of Shingo up in Aomori Prefecture. But of course, we need to look into what exactly is this story about Jesus coming to Japan. So according to the tale, Jesus had already been to Japan once by this point. When he was the age 21, he came to Japan wanting to collect divine knowledge, eventually returning to Judea via Morocco, and at the age of 31, to tell of his knowledge and to teach the people. Why Morocco, I do not know, but that was added into the story. He returned via Morocco. Of course, he would later find himself crucified upon the cross, but at the site of his grave in Aomori, the story goes that it was actually Jesus's brother, Isukiri, who was the one placed upon the cross and crucified instead of Jesus. He took his brother's place upon the cross, allowing Jesus to return to Japan via Siberia. And on his travels, he brought a lock of his mother's hair, the Virgin Mother Mary. He brought a lock of her hair with him, as well as one of the ears of his brother. Not sure why. The tale does not explain why he had his brother's ear, but that's how the story goes. And the tale finishes with Christ arriving in the village of Shingo, where he lived to the ripe old age of 106. While he was in the village, he took the name of Torai Taro Daitenku, married a woman by the name of Miyuko, and is said to have had three daughters before he eventually passed away. And it is believed by the few people who believe that Jesus is buried there that some of the people in the village to this day are descendants of these three daughters. While he was here, spending out the rest of his days with his wife, they did help the needy, and he was said to have been given. Now, bear in mind, you know, he is a religious person. You think they would be like high regard and reverence for him. He was given the nickname of the long-nosed goblin due to his distinctive nose. After he passed away, apparently his body was left exposed on the hilltop where his grave was for four whole days before he was finally interred and buried. Now, if you do go to the site, Heather, and I kind of do want to go.
I mean, you kind of have to.
There's actually two graves. One is for the body of Christ himself, and the other was purely for his brother's ear. So, just the ear. Oh. I'm going to ask you then. So I'm going to now talk about where did the story come from. So how old do you think this story is about Jesus in Japan?
I mean, somewhere around this. I feel like it was possibly when the Jesuits came, perhaps. So I'm going to just throw out 17th century.
And I'm going to tell you are way off. It comes from 1934. Very, very recent. The Jesuits didn't think he came to Japan. Just modern people believed it. So there was a man known as Toya Banzan. And he had been hired to conduct a survey in the area and the region. And this man is said to have been fascinated by apocryphal documents known as the Takeuchi manuscripts. These documents themselves had been created by a man called Takeuchi Kiyomaro, who had founded a new sect of Shinto, a new sect of the Shinto-style religion, which claimed to show the secret histories of Japan. And this included tales such as the fact that Buddha, Confucius, Mencius, and even Moses had all come to Japan to train and become enlightened because he wanted to have Japan as this giant religious center where all of the major religions had found their significance. Huh. Now, of course, most people found all of his stuff a hoax. However, he stood by them and he stood by his beliefs. And eventually, in 1935, Toya Banzan, the man doing the survey in the area and who was fascinated by this man's documents, he invited Takeuchi to join him in surveying the area. And during this survey, lo and behold, Takeuchi-san miraculously discovered the tomb of Christ, exclaiming, "I knew it was here all along." I can just see your brain trying to think of just anything to say at this point.
I had wondered where this story had come from. Why Aomori? Was he from Aomori? Or was he from a different place? And
so prior to this, there had been no association of Jesus in this area. The place where he said this is where Christ's body is, there is a grave there. There had been a grave there for as long as the people of the village could remember. But of course, they didn't know who he was. They had been lost to time. So it was a very useful place for the man to claim, I guess, as a religious revelation of, "I found the body of Christ," because, "Oh, I found this grave that no one knew the identity of. So of course it's Jesus." So I do feel that he grabbed onto the perfect opportunity when it came up for him.
It was right there. After he claimed this, did it become a famous tourist site? I would imagine. Was it a charged admission or just anyone could go? Or because I did see it when in my research, I saw like signs that do point you to the place where Christ was buried.
Yes. So there are signs that will say Tomb of Christ is here. But the village itself, it's not near a train line. There's not really any buses unless you're in the super local bus. So the only way you could get there is if you were driving specifically to visit there. There is a small village set up, which I'll talk about in a second. And, you know, they do have ceremonies every year. It's a Shinto-style religious festival to remember the person who's there. The festival does say maybe it's Christ. And even like sometimes people from the government go because it's classed as an official ceremony. But still, most people don't believe it is Jesus. However, the reason they continue to do the ceremony every year is because I feel, well, from what I've read as well, though the local people don't believe it's necessarily Jesus, they still do believe it is someone from their town's history that was probably a leader of some sort to have that grave where it is located. So they're happy to have it as a memorial for whoever it was. Whether some people say it's Christ or some people say it isn't, it doesn't really affect them. And that's one of the interesting things about Shinto is they're very accepting of a lot of things because they are a religion of many kami, many gods and goddesses. So it kind of makes sense that they are willing to just, you know, do it. Now, you asked as well if it was a famous place. Not really. There's just those local signposts. Most people there still don't think it's Jesus. Back in the day when Takeuchi exclaimed that he knew Jesus was here, most of the villagers were surprised that Jesus had been there the whole time. They'd never heard of the grave before, really. It was just a place that a forgotten person was. And the residents didn't really want to be part of this association with Jesus at the time. The grave was forgotten again in World War II for a while. So he found it, he declared it, most people didn't care. The war came, they forgot. Coincidentally as well, all of the stories detailing Christ's journey to Japan were lost during World War II. And the only modern transcriptions that remain is located in the local museum, which also has like traditional implements which they try and link to Christianity. And there's this whole thing of like, well, this area definitely did have Christianity because people dressed more in the Western style back then, or well, people, our dialect in this county has special words that sound more like European languages. However, you also have to remember that Jesus would have lived during the time in Japan, which was the Yaoi period. Japanese didn't exist at that point. Writing didn't exist at that point. Like, they hadn't even really made contact with China at that point. So, you know, the story does fall apart quite easily.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, all of these transcriptions were lost during World War II. However, the modern copy we have is signed by Jesus.
Oh, the modern copy is signed.
Yeah, yes. And, you know, as we know, Christmas didn't exist back then either as a word. Mm-hmm. However, the document is signed Jesus Christ, Father of Christmas. So there is also that, which breaks down the story even more. Interest in the site resurfaced after the war in the 1970s. And this is when the village started to hold a Christ festival every summer using a Shinto style ceremony. The site continues to be maintained to this day. Villagers and other locals saying that, you know, like I've said before, even before it was declared to be the tomb of Christ, they respected and maintained the area anyway, because they thought it was an ancestor of their village. And so, and still to this day, it is maintained by the locals as a reverence to whoever it may have been from their past, but also by others who think it could potentially have been Jesus Christ. And that's the story of Jesus in Japan. Also, I would like to say that the document that said when Jesus comes to Japan, it specifically is written during a time period in the Bible that glosses over those years in Jesus's life. So it's an empty space in time in his life, which coincidentally allowed those years to be filled up with his travels to Japan and returned via Morocco for some reason, which again makes no sense because you would have to go past Judea to go to Morocco to come back, wouldn't you?
One would think.
One would assume.
I mean, the logistics of getting over there, I do have a question.
I mean, walking through Siberia back then as a man from the Middle East who, they don't know what the cold is, they don't know what snow is, they don't know what ice is, he would not have survived going through Siberia, I don't think. Even if he is the son of God.
I mean, to the best of my knowledge and recollection, my limited studies around this time period, that far distance of travel, I don't think it was quite done. I mean, the Silk Road and everything, I'm trying to remember when that was, and that's where my history is falling a little bit.
Well, on a tangent briefly, because we always have a mini one, because I studied Silk Road at university.
Oh, excellent. Perfect person to ask. Tell me more.
Incidentally, the Silk Road played a big part in the formation and architectural designing of Islamic mosques. Because, interestingly, and I didn't know this, original Christian churches were designed how mosques look today. Over time, they became more rigid and square. However, the idea of these domed architectural buildings spread along the Silk Road and were adapted into the Islamic faith instead. So Islamic architecture finds its roots in Egypt in original Christian-style churches.
Ooh.
And I learned that at university. In addition to the other education we've been doing.
Oh, I had a question. I in my cursory research, I saw something about during his time, the occupation that Jesus had was not a carpenter, as one would expect, but was instead a farmer? Was it, I saw something about, was it mushroom farmer? Or do you know what occupation he had?
Who, sorry, Jesus?
Yeah. Like during when the time he was period.
In Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find anything about what he did farm-wise. I just read that he helped the needy. And yeah, he just married the daughter of a local chieftain. She wasn't just any old girl.
Oh, the one I went on Wikipedia, it's a garlic farmer. Not mushroom farmer, but yet a garlic farmer.
He was a garlic farmer.
According to this article in Wikipedia, so...
Garlic was introduced into Japan about 800 years after that. So I'm not sure about the historical accuracy of that either.
Well, I mean, also, it was signed Jesus Christ, Father of Christmas. So, I mean, I don't
Father
know.
Father of Christmas, yes.
Yeah, historical accuracy of the whole story.
I just think it's so fascinating because... So this is my experience about things in Japan that have been... adapted or learnt about from abroad. For example, Christmas is a great example.
Ah, yeah.
They do many holidays in Japan from other countries because they like the idea of... Well, they do it... I was going to sound harsh. They do it wrong because they've been advertised in such a way to get people to buy stuff without doing the rituals and the meanings behind it. So... KFC did their campaign and everyone in Japan thinks that's traditional Christmas dinner because, you know, they had no knowledge before. They were told this. They just believed it. They don't really know who Santa is. Sometimes they think Jesus and Santa is the same person. A few years back, there was a shop display in a mall where Santa Claus was crucified on a cross because they didn't know the difference. They just knew Santa, Jesus, the cross. I just put it all together. I think, again, this whole Jesus, Father of Christmas, again, shows that they had concepts of what Christianity was. They knew it was associated with Christmas. So, of course, Jesus would be the Father of Christmas when, you know, he was not. It was Saint Nicholas who became Father Christmas, who then led to Christmas. Japan adopts a lot of holidays and ideas from abroad, but they only adapt 10-20% of it. And don't fully understand. For example, as well, Christmas cake in Japan is just strawberry cream cake. That's not Christmas cake. It is delicious, but that's like a cake you can eat all year round. But in Japan, that's your Christmas cake.
I do have a quick question. Because my husband was asking me about, do you guys do cake at Christmas? And I'm like, to the best of my knowledge, you know, we have like fruit cake, but also we did mostly pies. I don't know, in the UK, you Christmas pudding or... I mean, figgy pudding is in the song, but I don't know how accurate that is.
Figgy pudding is good. Christmas pudding, yeah. I mean, Christmas pudding, it's so good. It's just like berries and raisins and things, and you put like alcohol on top and set it on fire.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's very delicious.
We don't do Christmas cake, but it is good. I mean, the strawberry shortcake is delightful.
It is delightful. But that's something, I feel that it's a cake you eat all year round, yeah.
The strawberries come into season. There's like a strawberry season in winter here. The strawberries are coming out, and that still kind of boggles my mind that strawberries are spring, early summer, mostly late spring. Not winter fruit, but here, no, it's winter.
Yeah.
And they did adopt some nice things about Christmas. I mean, the lights, there are lots of illuminations now this time of year. And I mean, Christmas trees, some people have them. And, you know, you don't have to do the whole big buying gifts extravaganza. You know, there's small presents that sometimes people do. But it's also like a dating holiday. It's kind of romantic.
It's kind of like a dating holiday. And they do a lot of traditional stuff that they kind of adopted off on like Chinese New Year, where you just give the gift of money. Like most of my students is like, what do you want for Christmas? Like, I'm just going to get an envelope with money. So they're kind of also, again, mixing holidays together, which is also fascinating.
I mean, the kids would obviously love Christmas because you get the otoshidama at New Year's. But if you get bonus Christmas money,
even better.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my tale of Jesus living in Japan. Definitely probably the most eccentric story we've done and probably the only episode we've done so far, aside from mythologies, that is probably not historical in any way.
Not unless you count it was started in 1934. That's your historical origin. Exactly. What about the person who did this? Like, what kind of person was he? Why?
Why indeed?
So do we have any history about him? Because he might be an interesting person. Like, I wonder if he believed it or was trying.
It's going to spur me on. I might have to look into him and see what other stuff he looked into. Because, well, he also set up his own versions of Shinto. It might be interesting to look at his life and also the doctrines of that faith he came up with and see how popular it is. Or maybe it's very limited to a certain area of Japan, perhaps. So Jesus has led us onto new topics.
I wish I had an appropriate response, but I'm still I don't know what to say on this one. Eccentric is a nice way to put it. I enjoyed it because it definitely so many things to think about, so many holes we could poke in this story. Merry Christmas.
Indeed. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. I know some people prefer happy holidays. So happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Enjoy your time if you have the day off. Enjoy New Year's. Because yes, after this, our next episode will be in the new year. So that's exciting.
Oh. Oh. Oh my.
Oh.
Yeah, 'cause this is Christmas Day. Well, Merry Christmas. You say Merry Christmas on Christmas Day, but also happy holidays. As it encompasses, I'm not sure when all of the other holidays are this year, to be honest. I'm still not sure if it's Christmas coming up soon or not. I think it's December, right? It's December.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, gosh, New Year's. Okay.
So, yes, thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. If you are tuning in on Christmas Day, thank you, I guess. Thank you so much. But if you're tuning in after, it's completely understandable because it is the holidays and you are with your friends and you're with your family. So,
can you say happy Boxing Day?
Whenever you tune in, happy Boxing Day.
Do you say that? Like, happy Boxing Day?
I've never said that before. I just say it's Boxing Day.
Oh, okay. Enjoy your Boxing Day if you celebrate.
Enjoy your day of boxing.
Why Boxing Day? Okay, that's another topic for another show and another day.
A different show, because that's definitely not about Japan.
You never know. There could be some historical documents found in 1983 that document the history of Boxing Day.
I have to start checking.
Never know.
But anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. We will catch you in the new year. Enjoy New Year's. Enjoy the holidays. And we'll catch you then. Matane.
Oh, hang on. Since it's the end of the year, there's something you say before January 1st, and it's Yoi Otoshio. Oh, I can't pronounce this. I'm too far away. Is it Yoi Otoshio? You say before the New Year's, because we'll say something when we come back after the New Year's, but you'll say it before. So since it's the end of the year, happy holidays and Yoi Otoshio.
I didn't actually know about that.
I can never remember. I had to look it up really quick because I always hear it and I go, I should remember that. And I don't. Yay! New word.
Yay! You got to say it. And then when we come back, you can say the other one.
Absolutely. Happy almost new year. Happy holidays. Yoi Otoshio.
All right, guys. Well, have a good holiday and we'll see you in the new year. Yoi Otoshio. Matane.
Matane.